Hello, I'm Colin Baker, known to my friends as Old Sixy, the sixth Doctor in that wonderful series Doctor Who. And I am proud to tell you are listening to me, and also Gallifrey Public Radio, the radio that brings you everything from Doctor Who to Rhino Wants a Wife, which is a book written by Lucy Baker, my daughter. It's a children's book. You can get it from fbspublishing.co.uk, and it's about a rhinoceros who is lonely and wants a wife, and it's illustrated by my other daughter's boyfriend, and it's a bargain. Buy it!
I'm Austin from PopX Cast, a pop culture podcast part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Dialed into Gallifrey Public Radio. We're a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us for weekly discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and well beyond. Your hosts are Jay Whitten.
I choose Death by Scotland.
Keir Hansen.
Arun, Arun, Arun.
And Hayley Malley.
Darth Vader, he's a villain, right?
We travel through classic and new Who, explore the extended Whovian universe, and play a few games from time to time if we're left unsupervised. Oh, and a word on spoilers, we do discuss recent news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but don't worry. If we look too far into the future, we'll give you fair warning.
Welcome to episode 343 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where the Dalek Supreme has latched his plunger onto a classic magic eight ball. And after a sound shaking, all signs point to, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm Keir.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay. And this week, we arm the most lethal and methodical force of evil in the known universe with some stuff we found in a dusty shoebox in the basement. Or so it seems. As we try to devise the perfect plan with considerably imperfect materials, we're calling it the thingamajig of the Daleks.
Dun dun dun, boo-wee-oo.
So menacing.
Yeah, but not really at all. Another work in progress as we're playing around with some game ideas. We had done something similar with Rassilon and all of his predilection towards objects of power. Mm-hmm. We notice, you know, as anyone would, there's a sort of theme with our classic villains here that they tend to get a lot of episode titles, and they vary in complexity or actual relevance to anything that's happening within the story itself. So we thought, can we test this theory by actually changing up the theoretical title of a Doctor Who story involving our little, you know, homicidal pepper pots, and then try and figure out what exactly it is they're trying to do. So what I've done is grabbed pools, and by pools I mean stacks of business cards here. Proof. That I have shuffled with possible titles for episodes. And we will play three rounds where each of us will get one doled out to us. Round one will be, you know, pretty tame, just standard kind of fare. We'll see what we can do, just let our creative juices flow. Second round, the titles will get a little bit more odd so that you have to, well, you know, put a little alternative thinking into it, get, you know, step outside the quadrilateral parallelogram there. And then the third round is pretty much just off its nut. So there you go. But since we will each be receiving one, that will mean a total of three selections out of these random pool of seven. So keep things nice and rough and ready. Let's see here. I think most games we play, I end up giving Jay first crack because I kind of like to watch him squirm as we're figuring out a new game format. So I'm going to throw this one at Haley, actually. Okay. And Haley, what I've done is I am fanning out 7 cards in front of myself, facing away so that I cannot see the contents on them. Can you please choose a number between 1 and 7?
3.
Okay. I would like you to think, and I'll give everybody their title, and we'll take, you know, maybe 2 minutes of interim time. You know, you'll get some lovely music there at home, where we will think through what our evil Dalek plot is based on the title that we've been given. So Haley, you are going to have the denial of the Daleks.
Okay.
Okay. Jay, choose a number between 1 and 6, please.
6.
Okay. You will be working with the maintenance of the Daleks. And I will choose, out of my remaining 5 cards, I'll choose number 2. I will be working on the navigation of the Daleks. So we will be back in one little music bump. Right, back from that. Let's see. Haley, I gave you your story title first, so please tell us exactly what the evil plan is being hatched in Denial of the Daleks.
All right, so in Denial of the Daleks have their master plan for world domination, and they're going to make billions of dollars doing it, and it's an elaborate credit card hacking scheme. So they're going to use their Dalek-y powers to pose as fake credit card readers on gas pumps. they may also have had something to do with the Equifax hack. And all of this will be thwarted when the Doctor schemes up with an identity protection bureau and the credit card charges that the Daleks are trying to fraudulently charge against everybody will be denied in Denial of the Daleks.
Boo-wee-oo.
It's real riveting. Excellent. Television.
I would watch it 6 out of 10.
There will be spreadsheets and call centers, reconciling bank statements.
Yes. You do have to insert your credit card information in order to gain access to the streaming service for this episode. Yes. All right. Jay, you were given the plot line behind maintenance of the Daleks.
Right. So at one point in the Daleks' history, there were hundreds of years between them interacting with the Doctor and then, you know, the next encounter or whatever. But during that time frame, there was, you know, apparently something started to break down. This was early on in the Dalek life cycle, and they realized, oh, crap, the stuff that we've been using to lubricate our gun sticks is starting to, like, break down and actually wear out some other stuff. And so they actually go on this, like, galactic quest to find the best kind of replacement for it. And this kind of starts their big push out into the universe, where they're like, oh, well, we didn't find the thing for our gun sticks, but there's all this other amazing stuff that we can use. And so that kind of kicks off their whole, you know, domination of the universe. Unfortunately for them, like, you know, the Doctor had already found the perfect lubricating substance that they were going to try and find, and found a way to, you know, just a certain pitch that would completely break it down into its molecular parts, and it was useless then.
That's just wrong. okay. The maintenance of the Daleks. Handed the navigation of the Daleks. So as you come to find, the Daleks have been working on their creation of new types of craft, and have actually developed a highly chrome shape-shifting craft, sort of a shuttle of sorts, that it has been using to travel Mutter's Spiral, capturing various alien samples of the weakest species that they can find that are contained within plexiglass tanks. And they finally, the last point in their evil plan is to descend upon Earth, where they seek to convince a dorky human male somewhere in the proximity of 1986 to pilot them behind the lines of Area 51, where they can swap out all of their captured scouts and other Dalek representatives for these useless galactic specimens. And they actually will communicate with this dorky boy through an advanced eye stalk that seeks compliance.
Okay, I have 2 questions for this. One,
please do.
when does Sarah Jessica Parker introduce the Doctor to a Twisted Sister video?
As early as humanly possible.
Two, will anyone be Naruto running at the gates at Area 51?
I hope so. We're still doing the scientific study on the actual physical efficacy of Naruto running. Jury is still out on that one. But yes, there will be a lot of young Sarah Jessica Parker appearances and hiding within large carts that do not at all resemble K-9.
So, not at all.
Yeah. For those of you who all these references are getting completely lost on you, Haley, maybe.
I've seen Flight of the Navigator, actually.
Okay. 10 points to House Mally. Excellent.
Huzzah.
All right. So the next round, as I warned you, will get a little bit more abstract. The titles will not be as blatantly obvious to work with. Jay, I'm going to switch it up on you on this one and ask you to select between cards 1 through 7.
2.
2? Okay. You will be giving us the plot line behind Litigation of the Daleks. Haley, number 1 through 6, please.
4.
4. You will be working with the Symphony of the Daleks. I will take out of my remaining 5, I will go with number 4 and have the Reservation of the Daleks. Okay, we'll be back in one sound bump. Okay. I will change the sequence up a little bit here. I'll present mine first, and then Jay, I'll give you yours, and Haley, you can present yours. I ended up with the Reservation of the Daleks. So after figuring out through extensive algorithmic study what the true desires are of nearly every sentient species in the known universe, the Daleks have developed the most sought-after and highly reviewed restaurant chain in the universe itself, where the wait time for a table is precisely 10 rels beyond the starvation point of any of the affected species attempting to get a table. So if you want to eat, you can actually bribe the maitre d', but you have to, on the sly, hand over a little piece of temporal technology. And, you know, they might be able to get you a table at the back. So, Reservation of the Daleks.
Nice.
Jay, you were given the Symphony.
No, I had the Symphony.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Litigation of the Daleks.
Right. So this story starts out for classic viewers to be a little bit familiar. Things happen in a familiar way, and after a few seconds, anyone that's familiar with the Sixth Doctor era will be like, "This, why am I watching Trial of the Time Lord?" And then there's the twist that the Daleks are actually, the Valiard is actually a Dalek puppet. And you start going through, and it's a faithful-ish retelling of the classic Sixth Doctor story, but the Valiard is clearly a Dalek puppet, even though the Doctor can't tell that. And then the further twist comes later when you realize this is all like a dream sequence and they have captured the Doctor and they're manipulating his mind to make him relive this, trying to figure out what the hybrid is.
You just involved all the good things and all the bad things.
Thought you were done with the hybrid.
Do you mean the hybrid?
Now I want Colin Baker to scream the word hybrid in, at various degrees of anger. Just to hear how that sounds.
Well, now we know what his bump segment is going to be for the podcast next time we get to see him.
Yeah, next time I get a chance to sit with him for more than 15 seconds, can you just yell hybrid at me?
Repeatedly.
As loud as possible. All right. Haley, you were asked to describe to us the Symphony of the Daleks.
All right. So you know how every once in a while with a new companion, we'll get the episode where the Doctor promises to take them to go see something cool. And then... Yeah. You know, things go awry because you're traveling with the Doctor, and they don't actually get to do that thing.
Barcelona.
The Doctor is going to take his new companion to see the greatest galactic symphony in the world. So they're going to be dressed in their finest formal wear that the TARDIS can provide. And they'll go in, and they'll sit down for this symphony, but it doesn't sound like very good music. And the Doctor's trying to explain to the companion how not all ears are human ears, and they just don't have enough lobes to appreciate the music.
Because the lobes are the part that you need.
And then the band will come out of the pit to take a bow. And instead of being you know, aliens and human-looking things with instruments, it's Daleks. But instead of having the whisks and the plungers, they have instruments. Which is actually a terrible plan, because those are somehow weapons for the Daleks that they usually use against people. So now they're trying to just use sonic blasts. And the Doctor thwarts them by giving everybody fuzzy pink earmuffs.
So they're just foomping French horns at people. Oh, God. Well, I don't know. If anyone has ever actually put a child through music classes, you know what a formidable weapon a violin can be in the wrong hands.
No, they're all just going to have recorders. That's it. And that's just the weapon, God. Is them playing a recorder. Because no matter how musically talented you are, you cannot make the recorder sound good.
I don't know, man. A Dalek Sek with a clarinet could be pretty formidable. All right. Okay, so for our third and final round, all bets are off, and the terms can be rather awkward. So I'll take first selection on this one out of seven. I'll take number six. So I'm working with the adoption of the Daleks. Jay, can you choose between one and six, please?
Four.
Number four. You will be giving us the marriage of the Daleks. And Haley, one through five, please.
Two.
Two. The puberty of the Daleks.
So mine is clearly part two to Haley's part one.
Right. So maybe we have to do these in a very certain order. All right. We'll be back in a minute. Ugh. All right, now I thought that I had a natural order with these things, but I will leave it up to the collective here to decide whether we want to try to follow these in any sort of actual sequence or just sort of switch it up for the sake of interest. We have adoption, puberty, and marriage, but I don't know necessarily if those have to be in any given order, because you could say puberty, marriage, and then adoption or something of that sort. I don't really know. So let's completely throw that out and say we'll do... let's do the puberty of the Daleks first. Haley?
Okay. So this happens right after, whatever the first story with Davros in it was, where he creates the Daleks.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
So Genesis. This obviously comes right after that. And it's Davros trying to get his first gen Daleks ready for world domination, all the world's domination. And he's just having a hard time because every time he tells them what to do, they shout at him, "You're not my real dad."
You're not my real dad.
They're hanging out outside behind the libraries, smoking and stuff instead of, you know, going to their world domination classes. One of the shells opens up and you see an even greasier, pimplier squid monster thingy. You know, the one... not cool Dalek is always talking about the girlfriend he has who lives up in far north Skaro. And there's another really cool Dalek who's using his eye stock to shoot spitballs at that kid.
Right.
That's the whole story.
So that's domination there. That's how they take over the world. Yep. It's just by being angsty and rather moody. Hey,
it worked for the CW.
Sure did.
I mean, does any plan of the Daleks ever work out any better than that?
She's got a point there.
No, not really. Yeah. Sort of half-baked. In the adoption of the Daleks, picture a lovely 30-something couple somewhere in suburban Washington State. They've decided one weekend to take a trip out to tour the local tag sales or rummage sales or garage sales or whatever they call them wherever you are. And they you know, dig through a couple of bins. They find some boxes of here's an old tennis racket that we could use for an interesting art installation project that no one will understand. But then right before they leave, they look through one last shoebox and find a beautiful antique set of salt and pepper shakers that they absolutely adore. They're damaged. You know, they're a little love-worn, but they're salvageable. So they take them home, and being the crafty, Seattle-adjacent hipster types that they are, they do some lovely repairs and restorations to them. And they become beautiful pieces. And over the years, they become a staple on their dinner table. Friends and family members that come over to dine with them always remark on them, that they just seem to just bring the whole room together. And people just can't take their attention away from them. They become family heirlooms over the course of another generation. And finally, when their children are getting into their 70s and 80s, and they have now had these salt and pepper shakers in their family for over a half a century, the next generation, the kids are sitting there and they're having what could be their final meal. They're just barely able to hold on there, and they're looking at each other longingly across the table, and one of them begins to clutch at their chest, and this might be the final moment. And that's when the salt and pepper shakers rise off the tabletop and begin to grow in dimensions, and we come to find that they are sentient creatures, and that after being cared for over the half century human years, they are going to take care of this family that has cared for them, and they are whisked away to a cyber retirement home where their bodies are replaced with something that will live forever. The end. It's not a good story, but it's a story nonetheless.
Oh, we weren't told to make good stories. We were told to make stories.
Right.
Right. Yes. Jay, you have the final call with the marriage of the Daleks.
All right. So the Doctor and his companion are off on an adventure, and they randomly encounter two Daleks who don't instantly go for the kill. So something's already screwy here, right? Through some a lot of ring modulation and yeah, things like that. We find out that these two Daleks have mutated just a bit too far and are actually in love with each other. Ooh. But the Dalek government, like, you know, these guys are abominations. And so now they are considered criminals. And the entire Dalek Empire is after these two. Well, the Doctor, being who he is, knows that this is all a ploy. Daleks can't love, just not going to happen. But the companion is swayed. I mean, this is true love. They have to fight for that. You know, this could redeem the Daleks. And so we find the Doctor and the companion on opposite sides, warring houses, if you will, with these star-crossed lovers in the middle.
Oh.
And so you have, you know, the two storylines running concurrently where the companion is trying to help the Daleks and the Doctor is trying to figure out what's going on. Then we realize that their marriage is actually would basically complete a reality ending bomb, and the Doctor has to save everybody and gets to waggle his finger at the companion and be like, "See, I told you."
always end a good story with an "I told you so." If you had just listened to me, if Woody had just gone straight to the police.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Well, so that has been some experimentation with the thingamajig of the Daleks. There were a number of potential storylines that we did not pursue. You can feel free to, dear listener, run rampant with such ideas as the liquidation of the Daleks, the retirement of the Daleks, the satisfaction of the Daleks.
Okay.
Jay really should have
a song
randomly
for that one.
Yeah, right? Jay would have really loved to work with the Renaissance of the Daleks.
That opens up so many windows.
Doesn't it, though? Or even perhaps the merchandise of the Daleks.
Isn't that what the BBC is doing?
Well, I was wondering if it had something to do with, like, Gold Box Day on Amazon.
Okay.
You know, some sort of a collaborative effort with the nesting consciousness. I don't know. To get more plastic into your house.
All right.
So, well, yeah.
I'm gonna put this out there, and this is just something that popped into my head right now as we were talking about this, and I want to put out a not necessarily contest, but a competition, if you will,
a challenge.
Somebody, I want everybody to send us in the best story you can come up with for liquidation of the Daleks.
Okay,
we'll give you what, 2-3 weeks from this episode.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
from tonight, yeah, as because, we record.
That means so. In about 3 weeks, we'll be coming around to our next game round. So, yeah, that works.
We'll gather everything that we've gotten, and the three of us will actually read out the best version of Liquidation on the Daleks in that episode.
Right, yep. And if it's a real knockout, we'll develop a big finish, like teaser trailer promo reel for the thing.
Oh, there we go. All voiced by us, so it's going to be awful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's going to be abysmal. But don't you? You just can't wait. So, and it can be something as short of a plot synopsis as a tweet. I mean, keep it to the elevator pitch length if you need to. But if you really want to sort of do a full plot summary on it,
yeah,
go nuts. Because you've got all the means. You can tweet it to us. You can post it on the comments for this episode on Facebook. You can do the same over on the website. You could just shoot us an email. You could leave a voicemail. Any way you want to let us know what your idea is.
It is time for you, dear listener, to prove how much more creative you are than we are. So
it ain't hard.
Yeah, bar's pretty low.
Yeah. You could choose to jump over it rather than like limbo under it. Yeah.
We were ready to go into the news.
Yeah. Oh, God, please. All right. So a couple things here. Some fun stuff, some head scratchers, and some I don't really know what this means. But take it just from something I found kind of interesting, because if you've noticed this month, if you are, as we are, a standard Big Finish followers, that they have a number of ranges that have absolutely nothing to do with Doctor Who. In fact, a lot of times they don't even have to do with sci-fi. And since they've been able to work with some exceptional talent through their main range and some of its ancillary spin-offs, they've had the opportunity to bring that talent in to work on some really interesting side projects, Alex Kingston being one of them. There has been a bit of a problem with Alex in particular. Well, not a problem with Alex, but a problem for Alex, I guess, as she's been working on a project that actually released just this month. And we're recording this right at the top of August, so it has just gotten into your hot little downloadable hands here of a thriller that she's done called Transference. So she plays a therapist, and she's got some things that her patient is confiding with her that end up leading into a lot of intrigue and danger, and she keeps falling into River Song as she's in the recording booth. Because you get a big tense moment where people are chasing you with guns and whatnot, and there's a lot of drama and dramatic stuff happening. And her go-to is to get out of these situations by dropping into the most absolutely lovable psychopath on the planet.
I want this particular title. I will buy it sight unseen if they can guarantee that they include all of those bloopers. At the end.
I want the outtakes. That's exactly right. I want that as the extra material. It's not, I will say this, and this is maybe one of the only negative things I will say about, if you want to consider it negative, about Big Finish, is that the consistency of pricing on their releases is a little unusual to me personally. You know, I get early download access to certain things where in US dollars I can get a downloadable pre-release or pre-order pricing for something where the release is costing me maybe $20 or $25 US.
Mm-hmm.
But something like this, which is unrelated to any other series, you know, it's kind of a standalone project, is $34, which is it's a bit to throw down.
A little bit.
For an audio story.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than a Blu-ray.
Yeah. So I'm a little taken back by that, but I mean, I'm willing to give it a shot. But yeah, I mean, as Jay said, if I knew that this actually had had the outtakes in it, yeah, I would definitely pick that up as well. This one does have going for it, though. I believe this particular recording also has Ingrid Oliver as one of the supporting characters, so which is kind of cool. So you got that going for you too. I don't know. Andrew Smith and John Dorney both writing, so you know, veteran writers for Big Finish, along with Jane Slavin, who is your principal writer on this audio. So yeah, it's I don't know if anybody's familiar with it or if anybody has already picked it up because they sort of subscribe to, you know, damn near anything that Big Finish releases. Give us your thoughts on it, because I'm close to pulling the trigger on it, but I don't know. I got conventions coming up, and $34 will pay for a lot of meals for the day. So
yeah,
change my mind. What's our next piece on the news docket here?
Oh, well, do we remember that whole big kerfluffle when Netflix was losing Doctor Who, and now all of a sudden it's going to be on Amazon Prime, And
yeah,
and the whole thing. Well, apparently we're switching homes again.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to put this to each of you because I have a feeling that both of you have very different takes on some of the pro-con assessment of this. So, yet another streaming service, HBO coming out with their HBO Max, whatever the hell that means, for streamable access to a number of titles. Granted, this will be sort of, I don't really know if they're going to have their original series immediately available. You know, like, so say mm-hmm. they've got a series that they're coming out with that is like same day as broadcast on HBO. Is it immediately going to be on HBO Max? I don't know. But I do know that as far as existing series from other networks that they are acquiring the rebroadcast rights to or the streaming rights to, it is, and this is kind of buried within the headlines here, is that they will have the exclusive streaming home to future episodes. So they'll have series 1 through 11, and they're mm-hmm. going to have streaming home to future episodes after they air on BBCA. So that tells me, A, this is only affecting stateside. I don't know what this means for Canadian broadcast yet.
Immediately after, or like after the season finishes?
Indeterminate from these articles.
Okay.
I'll dig a little deeper. I have a couple of folks who might be able to give us some more insight on it. But this says to me that it just means that, you know, and it also does not mention things like subscription-based services like iTunes. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you can still purchase. I do know that this means that Amazon is losing it, which is the reason why a lot of people picked up Prime in the first place.
Right.
So,
but I mean,
so I'm going to start with HBO. Actually, they've already got HBO Go and HBO Now. HBO Go mm-hmm. being the portable service that comes with an existing HBO subscription with your cable package. HBO okay. Now, previously being the standalone streaming service to get HBO content. Is this a third HBO streaming service, or is it replacing one of the others?
Give me the explain it to me like I'm five here. I'm still not catching the distinction between HBO Go and HBO Now.
Okay, so say you still have a traditional cable package, and right. with your cable package, you add on HBO.
You automatically.
So okay. HBO Go lets you stream HBO content using like your cable provider login.
Okay.
HBO Now is a separate service that you just pay for, and it's only streaming.
Okay.
So for some reason, they thought those had to be two separate services instead of just, okay. you know, having login procedures for one service to cover both uses.
None of the takes on this news story that have been flying around for the past 10 days have mentioned anything about the impact on their other platforms or their other app formats. It does mention the fact that their library is rather extensive with existing HBO content and a lot of this was apparently a very big BBC deal because they're picking up a lot of other series that we were normally tapping into either Hulu or at this point Amazon for. Netflix didn't really care a lot of I think Amazon already had Top Gear and a couple of variations of it. Luther was on. Actually, I didn't know if you had access to Luther anywhere. But it's bringing somewhere upwards of 500 episodes of content over to this HBO Max. So
if you're an existing HBO customer, do you get this, or is this an additional streaming service you have to pay for?
This is additional. This is. Everything that I have understood says this is something that is being grassroots brought up, and you have to pick this up in addition to anything you may already have from HBO. Because of the fact that there may be some reciprocation with the HBO series, mm-hmm. so you might have access to your Game of Thrones through HBO Go or whatever, you know, HBO Now. But if you want any of these things that have been picked up from other production houses or other originating studios, you've got to get it through Max. I don't even know what this is going to cost you. I can't. I got
there's
no money
too
left.
Many streaming services.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is becoming the digital equivalent of what we had for cable channels in the past. It was like, oh, I can't afford HBO and Showtime. I can't get Cinemax and Showtime and HBO unless they give me a bundle deal.
Right. I was going to say, that's what we're going to start ending up doing, is it's like, okay, well, you can buy this package of services for, you know, whatever, and then it's like, oh, well, so if I want to get, you know, Netflix, I have to get the 300-channel thing? We're, like, devolving.
Congratulations, we've recreated the terrible cable service that we all needed.
We have, yeah. But at least I don't have 52 soccer channels.
Yet.
No, it was the tennis channels. The tennis channels were the ones that drove me nuts. Like, how many matches can you possibly be playing simultaneously?
But good news, you have 400 music channels that you'll never use, but clutter up your guide.
All right. Let's flip this around a little bit. I'll give you a little bit of something interesting, because I'm curious about this. I'm even debating making a future episode installment about this. We don't often talk about fan-created content, because in all honesty, other than some YouTube creators and things, a lot of it doesn't generally rise to considerable notice, like it did back in the wilderness years when a VHS that someone had made for some fan-made video was the best thing we could get our hands on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, there was a group that decided that they were going to put together an audio recreation of what would have been, or what I should say could have been, John Pertwee's final story. Obviously, you know, we know Planet of the Spiders as being the Third Doctor's regeneration story. But there apparently had been, there had been the thought that there was an original premise for a story called The Final Game that would have been intended to be his exit story, bringing the Master back into it, which would have been difficult with the passing of Roger Delgado. So, mm-hmm. You know, obviously this one of the many reasons why this had been shelved. But there was a group that decided to put together a full cast audio story, completely fan-made, with a group that calls themselves Black Glove Studio. And you now have the first episode of the story, which I believe they intended to be a 6-episode story. Look a little further into that. But it's worth a listen. It's an hour-long first episode, so take some time investment in there. But I'm really, really curious to know what they would have theoretically done with this originally intended closing story. So give it a listen. We'll put the link in there. It's freely available on YouTube. Just look for Doctor Who, The Final Game, or look for Pertwee, The Final Game. Search those things. If you don't want to follow our link, that's fine. You don't have to touch it. I'm going to leave it there. You can do what you want with it. And give us your thoughts on it, because this is kind of, if it really proves to be an interesting concept and it was really well executed, which from the little snippet that I listened to, the production quality seems pretty solid. Yeah, this might be worth a better conversation. So, see what you think. Speaking of games, Jay.
Yeah. So the with San Diego Comic-Con happening recently, there wasn't a whole lot in the way of Doctor Who, but one thing that there was the gameplay trailer from the Doctor Who The Edge of Time VR game.
Yeah.
And this looks really good.
Yeah.
I mean, if it the gameplay in and of itself looks interesting, but I mean, imagine sitting there playing a VR game and having Jodie Whittaker, like, you know, give you directions and encouragement and things like that, and then finding the TARDIS and walking in for yourself. And
yes, please. It's,
yeah, this, I don't have a VR set right now, but I am seriously tempted to get one just for this.
Mm-hmm. Now, the beta code that they had released was actually presented for folks to be able to, and what they were doing at the BBCA booth in San Diego were mm-hmm. primarily on Oculus and PS4.
Right.
So the snippet that's making the rounds right now on YouTube was a PS4 platform release. So, mm-hmm. you know, not the highest end of supporting hardware for VR, but nonetheless, pretty impressive from what Maze Theory put together. Puzzle-based. You know, doesn't look like this is, at least from this little introductory snippet where you're just trying to find yourself your initial, I'm assuming this is kind of like the game setup.
Right.
Everybody has to deal with these first couple seconds.
This is the tutorial.
Yeah. You know, learn how to pick this thing up, put it down over there, follow these instructions, move here, mm-hmm. And then it gets more intensive. because like in the closing sections of it, like as you're trying to get your way into access for the TARDIS, you can hear the Daleks outside demanding that they take control of the Doctor's time craft. So, you know there's great stuff waiting for you in the wings. Well, great. By that, I mean, like, terrifying, but nonetheless. Yeah. I actually, same thing, Jay. I've been really reluctant to pick up VR sets for any of the home systems. But now, if I know that at least for the PS4 that's already in the house, like, well, okay, you know, I'll give this one a shot. It's, you know, maybe another maybe about $140 US for the VR set to add on to my existing console. So, yeah, that's worth it.
Yeah. So, you're definitely going to be paying attention to this one. And if anyone from Maze Theory is listening, I wouldn't mind helping out on the next one.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were going to fish for some free gear.
No.
Say,
no.
We'll do a review for you guys.
I want to make them.
Send us some gear. Okay.
This is Jay's stock and trade here. This is his bag. You know, I'll handle the social media arm of it. Haley can do reviews and game testing there, and we got you. All right. The three of us, we got you covered. Maze Theory, give us a call. Give us a ringy dingy. We got you.
All right. Well, next week we're going to be going back into our classic rewatch with The Invasion of Time.
The close of season 15. And we run long, so Haley, pace yourself. 6 parts.
Yeah.
Better start now.
1 episode per day.
I didn't know that was going to be the reaction. Ooh, 6 part story. Great. Must be thrilling.
Oh, yeah.
But so, it is. I mean, seriously, you've got the Doctor being given the presidency of Gallifrey, and then a chain of events that leads to a 2-species invasion of the planet. I mean, and the Centaurans are back. Come on. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how this how this all pans out. But
no, don't poo-poo this thing. This is the invasion of goddamn time here.
All right, well, this has been episode 343 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, why didn't we go with, like, the plunger of the Daleks or the egg whisk of the... never mind.
And this is Gear saying, you know, you guys really missed a trick when you didn't have an opportunity to work with the sorcery of the Daleks.
And this is Haley saying, the invasion of time, did that come from one of Kier's random game generators?
It kind of sounds like.
We'll see you guys next week.
And on Z.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook @facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.